This is KSKQ 89.5, Ashland, Oregon, and you are listening to Your Brain in the Cybersex Jungle. Disclaimer time, Your Brain in the Cybersex Jungle is informational only. It is not medical advice. If you need medical advice, please see your doctor. The central theme of the show is how internet pornography impacts men, primarily young men, their experiences, and the science behind what they are experiencing. You can visit www.yourbrainonporn.com for video presentations, FAQs, many articles, links to forums, and support. It's a secular site, commercial free, can't buy anything. We have a guest today, and his name is George Collins. He's the director of Compulsion Solutions, and you can find his website at www.compulsionsolutions.com. He is the co-author of Breaking the Cycle of Addiction, Free Yourself from Sex Addiction, Porn Obsession, and Shame. In fact, his chapter one of that book is on his website. It's a very well-written chapter. I enjoyed it. And he and his wife also wrote another book, A Couple's Guide to Sexual Addiction, A Step-by-Step Plan to Rebuild Trust and Restore Intimacy. A little note that George has, it says, George didn't just go to college and read about sexually compulsive behavior. He lived a life and got over it. George, are you there?
I am. Good to hear from you. How are you today?
I'm pretty good. So you have your own story. You said you lived it. In fact, it seems that one of your biggest problems was porn. Can you tell us a little bit about your own sexual addiction story?
I can. I'd be happy to. I was the son of some well-to-do folks who I grew up in Morristown, New Jersey, in a big fancy house with servants. But my parents were alcoholics and very difficult people, angry at each other and angry at the world. I grew up in the 50s. It was not easy to live in that house. My mother was sexually inappropriate with me. She did everything to me except vaginal intercourse. And that scared me, of course, and messed up my head. My father beat me regularly and told me I was stupid. It's a wonder I often say that I didn't turn out to be an axe murderer, but somehow I transcended that through the years, not easily, but transcended that to be able to have Compulsion Solutions and have people fly in here from all over the world and work with people on the telephone, mostly telephone all over the world, so it's been great. But my porn addiction started, Gary, when I was a kid. I needed something to shield myself or to cope with the craziness in the house, and obviously I didn't want to drink because my parents looked stupid and silly doing that. So I ended up finding my father's Playboy magazines, and I have something that you're probably familiar with and your listeners may be. It's called Euphoric Recall, where I got euphoria and excited when I saw naked pictures, even if I was a little kid and not at puberty. And so I found these pictures and magazines and stole them from my father, who, of course, couldn't ask where they were because he wasn't supposed to have them. And so I'd seclude myself in places and just look at them, and after a while, like most boys, found that when I touched myself erotically that it was stimulating. And I fell into the trap that I'm afraid our cyber kids or cyber young men and cyber men are doing now of thinking that those were my girlfriends.
Yeah.
So I deluded myself. It was especially heightened because of the incest and real relationships with real women were especially scary to me, because when I smelled the smell of women and I was with them, I was reminded of my mother unconsciously as a kid doing that stuff. So consequently, I married a lovely woman in college, just a wonderful young woman, and stayed married only 6 months because I was too immature and unable to have sex without thinking of porn.
Okay.
And so that's the lead-in story, and stayed married 15 years to a woman who really was the same thing. So it's only in the last 25 years that I've kind of gotten over the ability, gotten the ability to be in the room and understand true intimacy.
Your story has some parallels. You know, what's interesting, as you mentioned, is I think we're entering a new era where the majority of the guys that on the forums that link to Your Brain on Porn are under 30, and they grew up masturbating to internet porn, hardcore porn, for years prior to even maybe even holding hands or having a relationship. Would this be considered a type of early trauma also?
Mine or your or what you're talking about?
What I'm talking about is starting maybe at age 12 or 13 with hardcore porn, watching it every day, and that is sex to you long before you even start a sexual relationship. It's just rewiring the brain.
I guess we'd have to look up the word trauma, but for me it was trauma. It just didn't feel like trauma. It felt good.
Right.
To be traumatized, I mean, you're actually being abused by a picture of an adult woman, just between you and me, without being too clinical, it seems like trauma to me.
Yeah, I read the first chapter of your book. I liked it had some great stories just in the first chapter, so I recommend it.
Well, it's a book by a sex addict for sex addicts. It was written for eighth grade level readers, which I jokingly say I don't think anybody that watches porn and is hooked up to porn and is classifies themselves as addicted to porn has the mentality when they're in that mode of being much older than eighth grade level.
The question that comes up for me is, you know, there's the classic, and you'll educate me on this, the classic Patrick Carnes model that seems to be that sex addicts have childhood issues or pre-existing conditions and that one must address these issues in order to heal. But what I'm seeing is a lot of guys, I differentiate between sex and internet porn addiction or compulsion. I'm seeing a lot of young guys who are coming down with what they claim is addiction and morphing sexual tastes and erectile dysfunction and all sorts of problems, and yet they say that their childhoods were just fine. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm somewhere in the middle because I have to take both ends. Everybody has a story, and my job as a sexual addictions counselor is to find out that story and find out where it deviated. Now, if it deviated with something as crazy as my life, well, it's quite easy to explain. But if it deviated in a way where a kid is just has a pretty good family, mom and dad are participating in with their children in Boy Scouts and Little League and things like that, and there's no beatings and there's no screaming, there's no alcoholism, then I can easily see your point where this monster's still in the house. Young men, boys and young men, are interested in naked girls.
I know I was.
You know, it's just going on. And so to put naked people, even in pictures, even in streaming videos, in your house with access to them, that it doesn't require trauma to create a sexual addiction to porn.
Yeah,
I agree with. I absolutely agree with you.
I see it as sort of like brain training, that they almost need this level of stimulation, that they think they're also educating themselves that this is the norm, this hardcore, very extreme porn is somewhat the norm, and it's very upsetting. Now, in your book, what suggestions do you have for guys who are addicted or affected by internet porn use?
The book goes chapter by chapter through a series of revelations that I had and techniques that I used. A quick one would be the beard test. So every time, almost to this day, that I go into, well, there's really not too many video shops anymore, but up until recently, when I would go into a video shop to rent a video, I would rub my hand across my face in the wrong direction, and I would hear a little noise, which would be what's left of my beard stubble, and I call that the beard test. And so I would do the beard test, and I would say out loud, if I could get away with it, you're a man, you don't need to go in that back room, or you don't need porn, or maybe you want to be careful about what you're going to rent here, because that would have been a triggering thing for me. And luckily, in the last 10 years or so, since I met my beloved wife, Paldrum, she has helped me a great deal balancing and centering and being able to be present with a real live person so that porn is just not such a big deal to me anymore.
Now, you mentioned that part of the journey, you mentioned this in your book, is to actually mature, grow up, get out of adolescence where you see women or people as sexual parts. Is that part of the journey?
Yes, what we try to do is to separate men when they come here. One of the main modalities that we like to use is called dialogue. And we actually have our clients try and take our jaw, which is kind of fun. It's not an easy thing to do, but what we're trying to do is get rid of people as soon as possible rather than keep them on for years and years. So what we try and do is get them to actually talk to their addict and name their addict. My addict was named Porgy, George Porgy. So in the beginning, I would talk to Porgy, and I would ask him, what else would you like to do besides watch porn? And for a long period of time, there wasn't much else. But I did engage that sub-personality, that aspect of me. The way I explain it in my book is that there, imagine yourself in an amphitheater with people screaming out, right, in that dark amphitheater with people screaming out what you should do, and a number of them are screaming out, watch porn. So the idea in our work here is to turn the lights on in the amphitheater, obviously the amphitheater being your own mind, and be able to speak back to that which is really taking you away from intimacy and from connection and from relationship, which everybody actually craves. There's no question that I craved relationship. I just didn't know how to do it, and I was just totally hooked up to my girlfriends. In my case, I pretty much stopped the whole thing during the VCR period.
You know, the guys, some of them mentioned that they have a dialogue with what they call their scumbag brain. So
yeah,
that's what they call it, their addict self.
Yeah.
So
that's good. I try and get them to not use mean terms
yeah,
around it if I can, you know. But in the beginning, scumbag brain, yeah, I get it. Yeah, I can remember that one.
Well, when you're in your young 20s, that's how you talk. Since
I get it. I just want to be careful that people aren't running themselves down.
Exactly.
Because there's a lot of fear and shame and pain and self-doubt and judgment and criticism involved in being an addict.
Now, the basic question a lot of guys have, because they often show up linking to the forums linking to my site with severe problems, whether it's morphing sexual tastes or sexual dysfunctions or just consumed by porn. They're really asking the question, can I get over this issue? Am I ruined for life? How would you answer that?
Thousands of people have come here to Compulsion Solutions in the 17 years that I've been here. We help people change their... You have to change your mind, and we've done it. Our greatest credential is that we've lived a life. So anyone that works for me has gone through my process. I don't select people who have never had porn problems. I select only people that have had porn issues. And so when we're talking to somebody, we say to them, anything you've thought of or done, we've thought of or done.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that porn not only disrupts your relational life, but it screws up your ability to work, have hobbies, have friendships. You isolate and hide out. And, you know, you just go for hours doing this stuff. And what we're trying to do is get people back out into the world where they belong, being with people and having a good time and making nice money.
Now, a lot of guys do say that they isolate or spend too much time on their computer. Of course, they're young, and some end up with social anxiety, and that seems
right
to remit or disappear once they quit. But the question is, can you get over this without counseling? Is counseling necessary?
When I first tried to get healthy, I didn't have two nickels to rub together. So I went to the 12 steps, and I went to SLAA, Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous. And I found it incredibly helpful to me. It didn't help. It didn't actually change my mind. But the reason I'm bringing it up is that I needed to be accountable to somebody, somebody that understood, because I just couldn't do it on my own. I wish I could have. I tried to hundreds of times. I'm sure your listeners have had porn burnings and gotten rid of their computers or smashed their computers or all kinds of crazy stuff goes on. But
yeah,
to answer your question, counseling, 12 steps, something to be accountable so that, you know, because we have this great saying, you're only as sick as your secrets. And it's true.
And what we see on some of these forums is they use it as counseling. They tell their whole story. That's how they start. And, you know, their darkest things that they never told anyone. And a lot of times they'll put up posts, you know, can I have an accountability partner? They're looking for someone to monitor them.
Right.
Because we see that they relapse, and often just disappear and never come back again when I monitor these forums.
I agree. That's fantastic. Now, there's something to be said, too, for somebody with a degree in psychology.
Mm-hmm.
There's something to be said for, because what I say to people is, as you back out of sex addiction, you back into neurosis. And everybody's neurotic. Everybody.
Yeah.
And so you're going to be a funky dude. Everybody's funky in some way or another. And so we don't know what the porn did to you as a developing kid. And so how did it limit you, and how did you become neurotic over this?
Mm-hmm.
So it does help. I'm not saying it's absolutely essential. I've talked to people that have gotten very well using accountability partners in the 12 steps. But I think to polish the stone, and some people actually, I think, probably do need psychological help, but it's not everybody.
Okay. So you're listening to Your Brain in the Cybersex Jungle. Our guest today is George Collins. He is the director of Compulsion Solutions, and he has a book, well, a couple of them. One of them is Breaking the Cycle, Freeing Yourself from Sex Addiction, Porn Obsession, and Shame.
That's a best-selling book in the country. I'm so thrilled. I can't get over it.
Yeah, I went to Amazon, a long time ago, and its rating is off the chart.
Yeah,
and it came out in 2011, right? Just a couple of years ago.
Yeah. I happened to run into Pat Carnes at a recent seminar, and tears came to my eyes because he asked me to autograph my book for him. You know, and I took his place because his book, I think, Out of the Shadows was number one for something like 10 years.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm just thrilled. I read the reviews on there, and it's just thrilling to know that I don't know these people, but they're doing well just from the book.
We're going to have a link to it once we put up this audio track so people can link to it. Now, be on my site.
What we do with the book is the reason we have people call and read the book is because people have selective reading, which means that the addict is also reading too. And so sometimes the addict doesn't read everything or doesn't really want to do the homework. So
yeah.
That's where they're accountable to us.
Yeah, I see a lot of gaps when guys come on Your Brain on Porn and read some of the materials, some of the huge gaps in what between what I say and what they actually comprehend.
Yeah. That's the accountability part, Gary, that I like. And everybody that calls here gets a half hour no matter what.
Oh,
just
nice.
To talk. There's no charge. So anybody can call and just talk. I've got a whole staff of people, and all of them have suffered from the problem in different ways. And so even if somebody just wants to talk for a few minutes, have them call and call the number, go online, send us an inquiry, and there's no pressure. We've got more than enough clients. We're not trying to sell anything.
Well, you know, since we're in the era of porn being everywhere, is there such a thing as normal use of porn?
I've talked to people, you know, we call them normies in the 12 steps. So when I was in the 12 steps, and there are people that can watch what they call erotica together. There are men that can just look at a Playboy magazine centerfold and put it away and not cut out the pictures and paste them into on their walls or hide the magazine in the barn. There are men that can just look at it and put it down, just as there are people that can have a drink of wine and not have two or three more.
What this brings up for me is the difference perhaps between men who start out with porn and young guys that start out with porn. Is it normal use to be 13-year-old and sitting there for an hour and clicking through a gallery site with 3-minute clips of hardcore videos? Could this be age-dependent also?
I'm sure. I mean, the earlier that you get hooked up to something like this, the harder it is to break it, because earlier in the developmental cycle. I have kids that call here as young as 11. I had a kid just yesterday call in and say, I didn't even know how he got my website, but he said, why is the man pee-peeing in the lady's face?
Oh, my.
And so I said, son, let's talk. And I talked to him for about 10 minutes, and then I asked him to put his mother on. And he said, I can't do it or she'll beat me. And I said, she won't beat you. You put her on. And she got on and she was all angry and said she was going to beat him. And I said, madam, I have your phone number, and if you beat him, I'll have the police at your house. This is in the Midwest, where she called from. And so I had a good talk with her, and later the husband, or her husband called, the father called, and I told him how to have the talk with the boy. And hopefully we've averted some travesty.
Well, this brings up the question. So most kids are watching porn.
Yes.
Let's say you're a dad. What do you tell a 13-year-old that's watching high-speed internet porn? What's your advice to parents?
Gee, I don't have one of those, and you got me there. I mean, I guess what I would do would be to talk about intimacy and mommy and daddy and procreation, and that would be the time to have the talk of differentiation. And hopefully you're not talking to a kid who's so angry and upset with you just by being a teenager and separating and individuating.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you're talking to a kid that will listen and will do less and that will see the truth of human sexuality and intimacy.
What are some of the...
Does that make any sense?
Well, it does. I think we're in just such a new era that we're really sort of finding our way through it. This is 10 years, pretty much, that we've had high-speed internet porn widely available. It's free, and it's so new. I think, in my view, that we have to sort of rewrite the model here, that kids wiring their brains to a screen for years prior to sexual intimacy is a new phenomenon, and it's widespread. And it's considered, as you know, since there's a lot of controversy, a lot of sexologists, other ones, academic ones, think that this is normal and okay.
Even a little bit.
And so I have a real problem with a lot of them suggesting that this is similar to finding Playboy, which I did when I was 13. I saw a couple pictures. That was great. Different than sitting on my computer clicking through endless videos.
I mean, you know, whatever you want to watch sexually, you can Google.
Oh, yeah.
You can watch people have sex with turkeys.
No doubt.
You know, it's just insane. And when you and I were kids, we had no concept of the ability to do something like that.
And they're losing their imagination. If we looked at a picture when a Playboy, we would have to use our imagination. We wouldn't be watching the sex act. We would be imagining, touching, and feeling, perhaps, as a 13-year-old, rather than these extreme hardcore gang rape scenes that they are actually watching. It's really different.
The other thing, Gary, is that I'm pretty sure you'll agree with me, is that I used to get tears in my eyes thinking of that I loved these girls.
Hmm.
And if you're looking at hardcore porn, there's no love there.
No.
I mean, there's no connection, no love. The saving grace of Playboy was that it got me through. It helped me cope through a period where my parents were insane and life was hard. And at least I had that. And, you know, not so good. But nowadays, to look at people with, you know, I can't even name things on the radio.
I know.
That's going on.
Yeah,
I wouldn't even say it.
So now it's not a coping mechanism, it's the norm.
Yeah.
And that's my big concern.
Big deal.
So
absolutely agree.
Another question, as our time's getting shorter, what are some of the signs or behaviors to look for if you have a problem with, say, internet porn?
The things that I look at, or that we look at with this, especially you're speaking especially of young men, is that isolation is the big deal. And
okay.
If you're watching yourself, there's two people that may be listening to your show. Maybe there are parents or friends, and if the person you're thinking of or yourself is isolating too much, if you're not participating in school activities or work activities, and your work, whatever work you're doing, is diminishing, if you're not doing a good job at what you're doing, if you're getting in trouble for not being at work or at school, if you're not having friends or making friends or dating, whether you're straight or gay, and if you have no hobbies, because I have people that I ask, what are your hobbies, in my intake assessment, and they say, George, it's just porn.
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean? Are you crazy? I mean, what do you want me to say? I knit or crochet or bowl? I don't do that.
Well, we're going to have to wrap it up. Our time's coming to an end.
Oh,
so I'd like
gee,
to thank you, George. We'll have to have you on again. This is George Collins, Director of Compulsion Solutions. Thanks so much for being our guest.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.